When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation with Melissa Zellico about the eerie echoes of Preston Castle. And they've been doing the paranormal investigations for quite a while, haven't they?
They, I believe in the past, they used to do overnights. You know, now we end them at 2 a.m., but they used to allow people to stay overnight and stuff. And since, you know, now we know better, you know, the safety and all the other stuff and the fire codes and all that other stuff. So people aren't allowed to stay overnight anymore. But, you know, in the beginning, they did, I believe.
Now, I was reading that about, and who knows, and maybe through some of your investigations, you've kind of gotten an idea who might be there. But there was a housekeeper who died that I was reading about.
Anna Corbin's not there. Anna Corbin, she was very much loved. She was well loved by the boys. She's not there. Not at all. She didn't live, and you know, it's a common misconception that she lived in the castle. She had her own room. She didn't. She had a family. She had a husband. She had children. She's not there. There were other housekeepers. There was another one before her that was also, she was bludgeoned by the boys. And now we don't know, she didn't die in the castle, but we don't know if she actually died. We do know that she had a brain aneurysm after being attacked by the boys. And there was also at the New Preston, there was an agricultural teacher, a male ag teacher that the boys also attacked. And but he actually died at the New Preston. That is one project that we are trying, and I don't know that we'll ever have an answer, is how many people actually died there at the castle. The infirmary was the hospital for the entire area. If you were a farmer and you hurt yourself on your plow, it was a lot faster to go to the castle infirmary than it was to get on your horse and go to Jackson, you know, which would have been the nearest major city with a hospital, or Sacramento, you would have bled to death. But so they treated everybody. And for a while there, that they actually had a surgical room and everything on the third floor. It had been turned into a hospital.
You know, it's a morbid thought, but, you know, as you were saying, some of the boys were just dropped off there because their parents couldn't afford them or for whatever reason. Yeah. These are kids that would have been lost then at that point, you know? So you do have to wonder if there weren't a number of children who passed away there and those deaths were never recorded. Or their paperwork is just lost.
We do know that there are a lot of deaths there that were not recorded. There is a cemetery in the back, and there are 18 boys that are buried there. Most of them died from illness, or at least that's what the paperwork says.
Yeah, it's not going to say anything else.
Yeah, there was other people that died there. You know, we do know that there were people that died in the hospital that were not associated with the castle. And like I said, because of the paperwork, you know, some was destroyed, some was just not kept yet. You know, for different reasons, we may never know. You know, the city, the Hall of Records, only goes back so far. We have one volunteer who does work for the Hall of Records, and she's constantly researching and trying to find, you know, new answers or new info or, you know, whatever she can find. I don't know that we'll ever know, but we do. The same gentleman that I said had his first experience last year, him and I are working on a project together, and we record whenever we get names during, you know, certain things that we do during paranormal nights. We keep those names, and we're trying to, I don't know how successful we will be, but we are trying to match those names up with, you know, boys that were actually there. It's a project. I don't know how successful we'll be, but hopefully we'll be able to get something out of it.
When you do get a name, do you ever get a first and last name? Because like if you got Robert, that doesn't narrow it down very much.
A lot of Roberts, yeah.
Yeah, because it could be Bob, Robert.
Sometimes we do. And if we get a first name, we often ask what their last name was, or if they can, what their full name was, or, you know, if we like to ask them if they can tell us when they were there. Sometimes we'll get a date. Sometimes, you know, we won't. But we have different ways of trying to narrow it down to who's who. You know, like I said, I don't know that I don't know how successful of a project this will be, but we're attempting it.
Well, I think it's a good idea to keep track of all that sort of thing and then compare it with other people who might be in there doing
an
investigation.
That's the second reason why we do it, because it is interesting to, you know, if one group gets a Joey and then, you know, a few months later, somebody else gets a Joey and says, hey, have you ever got that before? You know, you can always look back, because I'm lucky to remember what I ate for lunch half the time.
I know,
you
know? Right?
Let alone what, you know, what happened a few months ago at an investigation.
You know, I had a conversation with some girls who work at a hotel, and they keep a journal guest book for the guests and they can write down their experience. And I think that's very interesting for, you know, everybody to kind of share their experience, because you might find some through lines in there.
Yeah. And, you know, I've investigated places that had that too. And, you know, we didn't know until the next morning after we had had the experience that we had there, we found the guest book and we were reading through it. And somebody a few months before us, it was actually a police officer a few months before us, had stayed in the same room and had the same experience that we had. So that's exciting.
And it's validating.
Exactly. It validates it. And it, you know, I got goosebumps saying that, but you know, it's really cool when you can validate, you know, or you can say, hey, that's come up before, or, hey, we know that voice, or, you know, you know, he's come through before. And that's the kind of stuff I find fascinating, is that they actually stay there. You know, that's why we don't allow people to bring in sage or nothing else, because we don't want them to go away. We want them to stay. That's their home, not ours.
And I would think, just by the number of kids and staff that were in and out of there over the years, that it's got to be pretty active with a lot of spirits there.
There is. And there's certain areas have certain spirits. And sometimes we do have boys that come through too. at different times and in different areas. And that's another thing that we're trying to differentiate is where's Joe? Where's Sam? Where's Max? You know, and what area do they come through? You know, we did a fundraiser. We had a fundraiser there. We had a streamer come through last year. Carl, the president of the foundation, he had never had an experience there, but he tuned into the fundraiser and was watching the stream and actually heard his name come through on a spirit box that was in a room on its own with the camera right there listening to it. And, you know, he thought that was pretty cool that they were saying his name. You know, that was the first time he'd ever had an experience or ever seen anything or heard anything like that. So, you know, stuff like that's cool. They know who's there. They know, they get to know us, even though, you know, we're still wondering where they are. They get to know who we are.
Now, I'm assuming there's some places within the castle that are way more active than other places.
Oh, yeah.
What are some of the more active locations?
The second floor. I spend a lot of time on the second floor. That's my area for the haunted house and everything. And there's actual shadow figures. I've seen myself more than once. And we've gotten photographs of them, of the shadow figures on the second floor. Intake, where the boys would come in at, that's a very active area. The day room, where the boys would spend their time during the day, where the showers are, then foot baths, that's very active. The infirmary is very active. The infirmary, we get all kinds of stuff in there. But those are some of the most active places.
Do you ever have, can people go in and do investigations themselves, or do you kind of control the group investigations? How do you guys set that up?
All the paranormal investigations, you buy tickets online. Right now the castle's closed. We closed down in August through December. And, you know, it'll open back up in October for the haunted house. And then it'll open in December for the Christmas event that they do. And then I think I'm going to open probably in March. We'll start paranormal investigations again. And we do them usually 2 to 3 times a month. We do private and we do public. You go online on our website, you buy tickets, and from 7:30 p.m. to 2 a.m., you come in, and I have some of the most awesome docents you're ever going to meet. They're all excellent investigators. I'm very proud of the team that I have. You come in, and you know, we try to encourage the people to investigate. But more often than not, we get people who are, you know, very inexperienced and just curious. Mm-hmm. So if we get a bunch of them, you know, we have our own equipment, you know, that we can pull out if nobody else has equipment. And, you know, we show you how to investigate, or, you know, what's best there. I mean, you know, some of the best equipment is the little cheap stuff, cat balls, you know, the lighted cat balls. Those, the castle loves those. And the spirits in the castle love those.
Kind of makes sense because they were young boys and they would be kind of fascinated by those.
I do. I tell people to bring trigger objects, you know, bring a cigarette, bring, you know, what would they have used then? What cards, a deck of cards, mm-hmm. you know, we have one investigator and she's so awesome and she'll get out there and she'll dance. We'll play, you know, we play the music that they would have listened to and she'll go in there and she'll just dance around and all the time she stirs up activity. It's really cool, you know, and you don't have to have all this big fancy, you know, equipment and stuff because just the simplest things work.
And I think often too, with people who don't have experience in investigating, this is a good way to do it because I think, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, take a little time and kind of learn about what you need to do.
Because if you don't know what you're doing, bad things can happen mm-hmm. if you're doing the wrong things. You know, we don't, if somebody came into the castle with a Ouija board, I'd tell them to leave immediately because we don't do none of that kind of stuff. We don't want none of that around there. We don't need it.
You know, it's plenty active without that.
Bad things happen. Yeah, bad things happen when you play with those things. You know, if there's real activity and you know what you're doing, it's not hard to communicate. And I do think, I really think that If they feel a rapport with you, they will communicate with you. If they don't, then, you know, you're just going to be out of luck. But you have to build a rapport with them. They have to be able to trust you yourself mm-hmm. in order to before they're going to like expose themselves, really.
It's just talking to you, you seem to have a real connection with that building, with the paranormal, yes, but with the Preston Castle in particular. And do you feel like, in a way, you know, these were boys who didn't have moms. Well, they did have moms. That's not what I meant to say. The moms weren't in their lives, maybe necessarily, or at least at that time, or ever for some of the boys. Do you feel like they kind of are drawn to someone like you with a maternal air about you?
You know, I never thought of that. I never thought about that. Possibly. And, you know, like I said, I'm around there all the time, you know, and so they've gotten to know me. I may not know them, but they know me. They know who I am. They can sense, like, you know, some people are very intuitive and can sense the good and the bad in people. I believe they can do the same. And they probably better than you and I can do it. Mm-hmm. But they know who's there for the right reasons and who's not. And I think that they probably do connect with certain people and not others, you know, and they probably do feel a connection. You know, I'm there all the time. So especially those on the second floor, that's where if I'm investigating, that's where I get most of the activities on the second floor, because they really know me up there.
Do you feel like there's anything in that building that's dark, or does it feel more like child spirits?
No, some areas feel dark, but there's nothing there that I've ever come across that is harmful, that will like, that's going to attack you or attach to you, or I've never come across anything like that. Like I said, I'm not afraid in there. In the beginning, my first couple of experiences, I screamed and I tried to run away, but now it doesn't even make me jump anymore, you know, because I'm comfortable with them and they're comfortable with me. So it just doesn't scare me.
And I could see some of the darker places could be what happened there. You know, there was fear.
Yeah, there was. And it was boys to boys. It was guards to boys. It was superintendents. And, you know, there was so many, not evil, but there was a lot of bad men that they had to answer to, and misguided, you know, people that they, and some guards were good and some guards were just rotten.
Absolutely. And
sometimes they were treated well. Other times they were treated very, very, very bad, poorly, you know, with barely any clothes, wet clothes, you know, dirty. And I walk into Company B like in the summertime, and I just couldn't imagine there being 75 to 100 boys in that room, no AC, no fans, you know, it's stuffy and it's hot. And just imagine all the boys in there, and they, you know, boys are, you know, little boys are stinky, you know, dirty. They'd been in the field or whatever all day. And I just couldn't imagine it. You know, we could sit and try to imagine it, but we've never been involved in any of that treatment.
And you're a kid.
It's abolished.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On top of it, you're a kid, and you're only able to process this with the knowledge that you have, and you've been left there, and you want your
parents. Yeah. Imagine being one of those 7 or 8 year old boys that were just left there because your parents couldn't afford you, and you've never done anything wrong in your life. And here you're with these 17 and 18 year old boys who are pushing you around and, you know, at the least, you know, and doing other stuff to you and saying bad things to you and, you know, smacking you in the head or whatever. It had to have been just awful for some of those boys, just awful. And it just breaks my heart, you know?
And how do you sense, especially because your husband doesn't want you bringing anything home, how do you keep anything from attaching to you?
Well, when I'm there, when I leave there, I tell the boys, stay here. This is your home. You can't come home with me. And that's with anywhere I go now that, you know, since I investigate other places and, you know, I deal with the paranormal. That's one of surefire way that we use to keep them there. I've never brought anything home with me from there. And I don't know that anybody else has either. I've never heard of anything attaching to people. But I just tell them, stay there. This is your home. You don't want to go home with me.
With a Halloween attraction, which this will air in the month of October, but in 2024, You do this every year. So in case somebody's listening to this episode 6 months from now, that could be a really fun thing to do. And I would imagine when you're creating the attraction and you're doing work on the place, that's just stirring stuff up.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. This is when we get most experiences is during this time, you know, because we're taking everything apart. We're putting up walls. We're, you know, changing rooms around. We're emptying rooms and filling them with other stuff. And like I said, this is my 13th year. This is the biggest fundraiser of the year for the castle. It brings in a huge, huge amount of their budget every year. And it's what enables them to take care of these big projects. You know, one year they did the parking lot. This year we just had sprinkler systems installed. You know, they just replaced the main support beam up in that was up on the top floor, holding the building up, you know, stuff like that had been up there for 130 years, wow. Never been replaced. And, you know, so the building is now safe and secure and sound, you know, it's not going to fall down like it was in danger of. And, you know, but yeah, the haunt is really, it's all volunteer. All of us, we're all volunteers. And we're always looking for volunteers to come out and help too. Volunteers of any capacity. We're doing building and, you know, acting. There's nothing better than seeing a grown man pee his pants because we've scared him. I mean, that is like the Holy Grail.
That right there is why I never go to haunted attractions. Because me too. I'm afraid I am the woman who would wet herself.
I would never buy tickets to go to a haunted house myself, but I've never missed a single night in 13 years of this one, being part of it.
But you're on the other end of it where you're like controlling the scares.
You know, now I don't get to do a lot of scares now because I'm constantly back and forth and taking care of all my actors, but to watch them do it. And we have actors of all ages. We have little kids and we have older people too. Every age. This year we actually paired up with the high school there in town. So we're going to have a bunch of high school students. And I'm excited about that because it's the drama class, the drama club.
Oh, they'll do great.
Yeah. I think they're really going to be a good benefit to us this year. I'm excited to have them, but yeah, we have kids of all ages, little kids, big kids, you know, the kid. And it's funny that people are more afraid of the kids than they are us, the adults.
Telling you, there's a thing about a ghost kid that just gets me every time.
My daughter was 6 or 7 when she started, and she never wanted to be like everybody else. So she was in this hallway that we call it the annex hall. It connects to the company B upstairs. And I so many times sat there laughing myself to tears, watching grown men run from her while she was singing Ring Around the Rosies and following them. You know,
that is really
nothing greater. And she didn't have to run. She just walked behind them and just singing Ring Around the Rosies. And they're going, get away from me, kid, get away, you know. And
that shouldn't be scary, but just you describing it makes me.
Yes. And so many times I just laugh myself to tears. And, you know, and other kids that come through, I like to tell little boys that come through, you know, I've got a bed with your name on it. And they run from me and they're no. And the parents always turn around and say, thank you. And, you know,
so funny.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. It's a great time for us, the actors. Sometimes not such a great time for the people that come. But, you know, they asked for it, didn't they?
Well, and we were talking a little bit ago about the website, PrestonCastle.org. And you can get information on the haunt there, obviously, but as well as. Yes. Paranormal investigations and everything, how people can take part in them.
Once
you open back up for that.
Yeah. But, yeah. And it's usually March through July or the beginning of August. The heat sometimes affects us, but not usually because we're in the evening or nighttime.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's people always leave satisfied. You know, the castle, she doesn't let people down. She always delivers.
You know, like I said, just seeing a picture of it, it just, I don't know. I felt it just seeing a picture. I can't imagine. And I wish I lived closer because I can't imagine actually seeing it and going in it. It just has to, once you, it just seems like a place, once you would step in it, you would feel it.
Yeah. My first time in there, it's been a long time ago now, but I was just in awe, you know, because we used to drive by on the school bus. And, you know, like I told you earlier, you know, with my mom used to say that's where bad kids went. And, you know, you always wonder who lives there. What does it look like inside? So to go inside and actually be part of it, you know, the volunteers at the castle are, it's an eclectic bunch. You know, there's people from all walks of life, and it's so great. We're all there for the same purpose. We're all work together, and it's, you know, it's so cool. We have law enforcement, we have fire department, we have waiters, we have secretaries, you name it, we've got them there. We're all there for the same cause, to restore the castle.
And it's going to take some time and money, you know, because it's so massively huge.
They say $35 to $45 million. So maybe one of our volunteers that loves it so much will win the lottery, but who knows?
That'd be a big lottery too.
That would be a big one. Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, this is so interesting. And I'll put a link to the website on the show notes so people can, can just click on that. But Melissa, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me about it.
If you ever come to California, come see us.
And that wraps up our conversation about Preston Castle with Melissa Zellico. For more information, visit their website at prestoncastle.org. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, you can become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or you can go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.